B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Steaky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, where you at?
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
To go to Bernie and Phil's, wow. That's like a dream come true.
Bernie, my other son.
Hey.
5-15-75.
Are these tater tots good food?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And you mentioned Bird, and Bird is here. Just in the kitchen. Just getting some stuff done.
Right now?
Oh, yeah. I said, you know what? 6:03, let's just pop in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Nothing going on right now.
Yeah, he loves making English muffins right when the show starts. That's his favorite time to do it. Oh, yeah. Ted Johnson is in for a Rich Schertenlieb today, as Rich is out at Joshua Tree with his family, which seemed... Okay, what goes on... So Joshua Tree is a tree,
right?
Correct? In the desert?
Yes.
All right, so
as far as I know, I've never been out there. I have no idea.
He's in Arizona right now.
Okay, Joshua Tree is in Arizona?
I just made a huge leap of faith there and assumed it is.
You took a guess. I have no clue. No idea.
Okay, it is in the desert. I'm not positive if it's in Arizona. Okay. I think it's in California.
Okay.
But they went out to California. He was speaking at a conference, but they went to Disneyland, which is in Anaheim in rush hour. That's got to be a three-hour drive. But then, I'm not insulting the guy from doing it, but I just don't understand. What do you do at Joshua Tree with a 10 and an 8-year-old or an 11 and an 8-year-old?
He goes to places not inhabited by man. Remember he and his wife went out to this hotel in the middle of the desert where GPS couldn't pick it up. There were no directions. You just
had to
take a road. And if you missed a turn, you'd be lost forever in the desert.
That's like A-list celebrities go to that place.
Okay.
It's like located in this, you know, area that everyone likes.
You're saying Rich isn't an A-list celebrity, huh?
No. What I'm saying is, of course not. But what I'm saying is that that's like a very fancy hotel.
Okay.
All right, Dan, you know what you do in Joshua Tree.
Well, just because I Googled it. It says two distinct desert ecosystems meet.
Fascinating.
A fascinating variety of plants and animals make their homes in a land sculpted by strong winds and occasional torrents of rain.
Ugh.
Dark night skies, a rich cultural history, and surreal, John, you know that word.
Yes.
Geologic features add to the wonder of this vast wilderness in Southern California. Please come and explore for yourself.
Well, he's a huge U2 fan, and I wonder if why he goes to Joshua.
It's got to be it. That's got to be it.
Don't you think that's what it is?
Yeah, that was 30 years ago. Come on.
Yeah, but he like
Great
loves
album.
U2.
I know.
Or he loves rocks. There seems to be a lot of rocks out there.
Yeah. See, you love U2?
I'm a big fan of U2, yes.
I never understood them.
Really?
Yeah.
Four decades of just great music, you know?
I never understood. I hate Bono's voice. I never got it. It's Sunday Bloody Sunday comes on, I say, this is where am I going to be for the next 4 hours?
It's a long song.
Yeah, this is just continuing and continuing.
I feel like there's a lot of bands like that, though. I mean, if you don't like, I'm a big fan of Rush. I mean, some people.
Nothing
but Rush songs the rest of the morning.
I'm amongst friends.
Have you ever heard Geddy Brewski?
No, I haven't.
All right, can you pull it up?
Ted Johnson, you could not have endeared yourself more to this show if you had tried.
I'm so happy right now. I worked in a show in Houston for four years with two co-hosts that killed me for liking Rush. Oh. I mean, crapped on me. Just
Rush fans coming back this morning.
All right, Teddy Bruschi was in studio right when the station started.
Uh-huh.
Not with us. He was like recording a commercial. So Rich and I were talking, and Rich was like, "What if we did something where he does Rush songs and we call it Getty Bruschi?" And so we had never done anything like this before, so we went up and, like, we were afraid to, like, ask him.
I had to ask him because Rich was terrified.
Okay, so Lockhart asked him. And do you have it?
I do, yeah.
All right, so here's one of his.
A modern-day warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride. Though his mind is not for rent, don't put him down as arrogant. His reserve, a quiet defense. Riding out the day's events. The river. Invisible airwaves crackle with life. Bright antenna bristle with the energy. This is Teddy Bruschi, and I am Getty Bruschi. Emotional feedback on timeless wavelength. Bearing a gift beyond price. Almost free.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Brew, that was awesome, Teddy.
Yeah, he was really nice about it, too.
Was he?
He was all about it.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, he didn't care. He goes, I'm making millions of dollars. He goes, I care about anything. All right.
Good stuff.
Daniel, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Bacon Eggs.
Hey, yo.
Hey, just wanted to comment. You were talking about Joshua Tree. I was actually in the Marine Corps, and one of the deployment areas where we would go before we would go overseas, you go to 29 Palms, which is essentially the same area as Joshua Tree. There's absolutely nothing there. It's just desert.
So, like, what would you do with two kids there?
It's like Clark Griswold.
Fred, I have no idea. I mean, at the time, I was much younger, obviously, without kids. Now, knowing I have kids, I mean, there are some low-key resorts. There's also a big Indian Wells tennis tournament that is in the same area. But, again, it's desert. It's probably close to 100, if not over 100 degrees right now. But you can't really do much outside other than ride around in your car.
Yeah, see, that seems like an absolute nightmare.
Sounds good for about 45 minutes. It sounds terrible. And then you turn around and go somewhere else.
It sounds like just consistent panic. Being in a isolated desert with nothing around.
Yeah, I don't get the allure of that, but Rich likes this kind of stuff.
I'm not insulting him. I'm just saying that it's a interesting vacation to take two kids to stand out. See, I follow that on, I'm friends with Mary on Facebook.
Ah.
See, so I see what's going on there. And, you know, I was like, they were at Disneyland and this and this. And then I'm like, wait a second, why are you just standing next to this tree? Seems like an awful long way to go to stand next to a tree. There's trees all over the place.
But the way Dan describes it, I mean, it sounds like, you know, if you just read what it, you know, is about, it sounds like you got a place you got to go, right?
No.
If you think
really.
Of all two ecosystems converge.
Yeah, yes, right.
On what?
Wow.
No, if you think, me up.
There's plenty of places to go on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, if you made a list of places to go, I mean, it would get to about 1,000, and then there would be Joshua Tree right down there about
I think you got to up the number a little bit. I'm thinking 5,000, 10,000.
Yeah. Before you went to Joshua Tree?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. I'm just talking about places you might want to go in the world.
That's fine.
The desert has, they like the desert. The desert has absolutely no appeal to me.
Didn't he drive, through like Texas and New Mexico?
Well, love West Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. I can get down with West Texas. See, there's not much out there, but there's something about West Texas. I like West Texas movies.
The rampant inbreeding?
No, that's Arkansas. That's a little bit north. But West Texas, it's great movies written about Hell or High Water, great movie about West Texas.
Yeah, I could see that.
The Rookie, great movie about West Texas. So, Friday Night Lights, great movie about West Texas.
Those are the schools that spend like $5 billion on a football stadium.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking like 100 kids from your school are playing football.
That's true.
Like, what about the other 3,000? Like, if my kid goes to that school, I'm like, hey, how about books? You know, just because, you know, and then if, God bless you, if you're female, They completely left you in the lurch. Yeah.
There is nothing out in West Texas, but there is a just the people in West Texas. I'm more a fan of the people of West Texas, and
I see.
They're not in a hurry to get their words out. You know, they're just down home, good folk.
Yeah, they're not listening, Ted. Don't worry about it. You're fine.
I would imagine the thought process is very slow. I don't know if I would compliment them on that. But imagine that getting the words out, that is not an affectation. That is something that is actually very real.
I'm sure he doesn't want to piss off the people of West Texas this morning.
Well, he goes, Rich goes to Marfa, which they did a episode of. One of the last places Anthony Bourdain went for television was Marfa, Texas. And I still don't understand.
He's been there a few times, too.
Oh, he loves it. Loves Marfa, Texas.
Who is it? Rich does?
Yeah.
What's it? What's there?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's like a Prada store that's not open?
But it's like a artist colony or something.
Oh, okay.
But it's a exceptionally small town. Like, exceptionally small. And I guess they have, like, a couple of hotels because people go out there. But my Lord, just talk about things that I want. Well, listen, more room for me for where I want to go. All right, last night the Celtics get killed. There was a Westbrook got into it with a fan, and we still have no idea. And I know Ted Johnson has thoughts on this. We still don't know what Gronkowski's going to do, and we can talk about some free agency as well. We'll be right back.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Mike Gorman, who will be on tomorrow, said if the Celtics go out west and they sweep, he will believe in this team. Well, there's no reason to believe as they go out and get their asses kicked by the Clippers. Here is Marcus Morris when things were still going.
Kyrie, hand of the trailer. Morris, open three is good.
Great look by Kyrie. Gallop in the air. I think Morris saved it, though. He wanted to shoot that basketball. Morris came at the last moment.
Celtics have cut a 12-point deficit down to four, and maybe another offensive foul. Gilgeous Alexander runs over Kyrie.
Kyrie Irving is starting to be a charge machine.
Yeah, well, that's what you want. And I'll tell you this, is if you went over there and you were watching the game, if you stayed up late, you did get to witness history. Lou Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Sweet Lou Williams.
Clippers shooting 64%, and here comes Lou Williams. Allen Iverson's understudy years ago, drives past Tice, goes under the shoulder, lays it up and in with the right hand. And with that, history for Lou Williams, now the NBA's all-time leading scorer off the bench.
Yeah, that's like being the greatest... Yeah. Nell Carter's greatest co-host.
Best utility infielder ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Congratulations, Lou Williams. You were never starting. You came off the bench. And who's not a huge Lou Williams fan? And he passes Del Curry, who was also a fan favorite.
All right. Who knew Del Curry held the record? Anybody?
Oh, I've been keeping
not until
up
today.
Yeah.
No, I've been keeping close tabs on this thing.
Amazing. During the time that the All-Star game was in Charlotte and Del Curry was shaking hands, they never brought that up.
Well, listen, you know, Del Curry was not one to brag. And so Del Curry just said, you know what? Was he there? I got to admit, I didn't see the game.
Oh, you got to stop the game. You know, I'm sure there's a passing of the mantle. You know, walks out of the court, shakes Lou Williams' hand.
Del Curry, he gave him a chair.
Right.
It was a toast.
Yeah. He goes, hey, you can. This is where we sit.
I used this in Charlotte for years. It now belongs to you.
Yes. I mean, that's what you do is you bring out a nice chair.
Yeah.
You bring out, a participation ribbon. Yeah, you got the whole thing. I can't believe they even keep that stat. Most points off the bench.
Like most minor league homers, you know?
I'm just thinking the same thing. Like Crash Davis had most home runs in minor leagues. Like, would that get crashed? Not much.
Well, listen, he wanted to stick around.
Got him Susan Sarandon at the end. That's what it did.
Yeah, Susan Sarandon, not aging well. Her daughter, however.
Oh, really?
Oh,
Oh. What did I just see?
With Tim Robbins?
Okay. What did, she was on the California Cation, I think was the name of the show.
Okay.
With, love that show.
Okay. And well, it got like a little when the what's his face from the X-Files, David Duchovny, just started to be able to bang anyone he wants.
Oh yeah, he had a problem with that.
That see, that's the thing is that like I liked Rescue Me, but then I'm like, this guy's a 50-year-old fireman. In every episode, he's picking up like Marissa Tomei or like someone that. Yeah. And it's just like he's having sex with everyone.
Well, if you're Dennis Leary and you're in charge, you can write it however you want to write it.
But there's a point where I'm like, you're a 50-year-old fireman.
Well, I don't think it was about reality. I think it was about him.
Well, see, the thing was, it was supposed it started off as a guy coming to grips with 9/11.
Sure.
Right. And his in the way that it's messed up his family. And then it became just an F-fest where he just got whoever he wanted. And like he'd be walking down the street and like women would be like, woo, yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I see if you're a honk, if you're a, you know, the, like a 25-year-old guy and you're a fireman and that might be attracted to women. I'm guessing Dennis Leary walking down the street. And by the way, 50 might be very... I might be on
being
the
nice there?
Yeah, I think I might be being pretty generous with the 50 years old. Well, anyway, when the high of Lou Williams wore off, L.A. Decided to pile on.
Wilson Chandler, right-hand dribble, steps through Rozier, finds Zubats for the easy two. Largest lead now for L.A., up by 29, 133-104.
All right, Johnny Wall game.
Yes.
You have yourself a Celtics team that had won three straight out there west, and now they get killed by a weak Clippers team.
Well, Clippers beat them here, too.
Well, the Clippers, in fairness.
Clippers are a borderline playoff team.
Yes, they are. But very exciting borderline
anybody,
playoff.
But there aren't many teams that sweep the West Coast. I think the one team all year has done it in the NBA. And I think Gorman technically said if they went 3-1 on the trip, he'd be fine. They went 3-1 on the trip. You know, they blew Golden State out. They beat Sacramento. They beat the Lakers. I mean, they won games they were supposed to. They blew out Golden State.
Don't you think Golden State at some point in that game, though, if they're down, are just like, screw it?
I think a lot of people on that team right now are screw it. And let's wait for the playoffs because we played a lot of basketball the last 5 years.
Yeah, because I have a feeling like once you're down, you're just like, all right, let's stop this a little bit.
The Celtics have something to play for now. And for whatever reason, whether it be that long plane trip and they found each other and they found relationships, and I keep reading about how Kyrie Irving got everyone together and engaged with his teammates. He gave a long interview. I think it was Chris Hayes of Yahoo Sports where he comes off pretty well.
Well, yeah, he said he did not handle things well, right. Which is... a long road for him as he continues to be schizophrenic on his comments.
Of course.
I will say this, though. Once you hold yourself accountable, once you actually say, I am sorry for the way I've been behaving, which is being reported in this in these articles recently about Kyrie Irving on that flight out there to the West Coast, once you kind of put that out there, you can't retreat from that. Like, you have to... If you don't live up to that apology, and if your behavior doesn't match your words on that flight, once you put yourself out there and you hold yourself accountable and you have a mea culpa and you apologize and you want guys to forgive you for how you've been behaving, you can't go back to being that sourpuss anymore. You got to be the guy that you said you were going to be on that flight. And so it's going to be interesting to see his behavior. But you talk about this team to me. Is like a collective borderline personality disorder.
Right.
I mean, it's like there's a great book called Walking on Eggshells. If you want to learn about that disorder, it is like you don't know what you're getting from day to day from that person. This team, you don't know what you're getting.
Someone say that's my mother-in-law. All right, continue. Not lying. I haven't talked to her in 3.5 years. Nope. All right, continue.
No, if you know all about locker room leadership, Ted. As far as the team goes... I mean, they got some tough games coming up, but I honestly think a corner has been turned. Now, whether that means they're going to play up to their full potential, they didn't have Jason Tatum last night. Whether or not they're going to play up to their full potential, nobody's really sure, including the people in that locker room. I don't know if they will. I know they're playing better basketball than when they left, and that's a step in the right direction. And because the teams in front of them are not playing well, they still have a very good chance of grabbing the 3 seed. And they play Philadelphia coming up real soon. So they got games against Philadelphia and Indiana. I think they play Indiana twice before the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So they may actually have a chance to grab the 3 seed despite all of the problems they've had over the last 3 months.
I'm not so sure they've turned a corner. I'm a little bit more nervous about it just because, look, I know they, it was a great win against Golden State in their house, but that at Golden State have been playing 500 ball mm-hmm. the last, you know, when they played the Celtics.
They're not playing well at home at all.
They didn't have three of their top eight players in that game. And then, okay, the Lakers are the Lakers. Sacramento, I give them credit for that. But last night, that was, you know, they had 2 days of rest and they go out there and they have a stinker. They were never in that game. I mean, they got it close there right before half, but then it wasn't even close. So I'm nervous. This to me, this team is a house of cards. Their collective confidence is shaky. Every single they're just the up and the down. Again, borderline personality disorder this team has. You just don't know what the mindset's going to be collectively, game in, game out. So I'm not so sure. I think at the end of the day, like you say, John, it's great. You know, 3-1 on the West Coast trip is nice. I just feel like this team's confidence is so fragile and it can just fall apart like that. I'm not convinced they've got it completely all the way back and that they figured it out.
No, I agree. And a really good team would have won that game, even though it's, a week, 8 days on the West Coast. I mean, it's a long road trip. So I agree with you, Ted, in that I don't think this team's really sure of what it is yet. I think they're can we agree that they're at least pointed in the right direction?
No.
The way they're playing?
No.
I'm going to say yes.
Well, okay. No, Fred gets the honorary silk jacket this week since Rich isn't here. You're one of the basketball boys.
Give it to Ted Johnson, the b-ball boys. Ted, what were you saying about Uno?
Okay. Well, there was something about the article that I read in The Athletic about the games that they were playing, and they were playing Uno, and they were interviewing guys. Who's yeah.
And no I brain thought, trust.
Are you kidding? These guys play Uno?
I have never seen that.
I just look. I mean, it was just
Candyland was the there was too much turbulence.
Cards are cards on the plane, from what I've witnessed. Yeah, I mean, there's real money there.
Yes.
Yeah. When my daughter was sick, she could play Uno.
Right. I was a little bit that all of a sudden I saw the details of these guys' card games that they play, Blu-ray, whatever they play, called Between the Sheets, Spades, whatever, and they're playing Uno. Mm-hmm. And I just, come on. Are you kidding me?
It's a young team.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But
they're babies.
Yeah. a lot of the guys only had 1 year of college, you know.
Yeah. Of course. Lord knows that you need quite an education to handle that Uno game.
Right.
I mean, playing Uno, that's so awesome.
I was surprised to hear that these grown men were playing Uno.
I'm telling you, Candyland was, that's all, you know, you can bet on that.
Jaylen mm-hmm. Brown was coloring.
Yeah, they took a bunch of placemats from the local restaurants, and they had their way. There was a word find I heard that people did very well on. Gordon Hayward got all the way through the word find.
Did you find it fascinating, though, that what I'm hearing now more and more is that today's NBA player is disengaged with each other. They're on their headsets. They're on social media. They don't engage with each other. There's no real team bonding kind of activity. And it's just that's shocking to me. But I guess that's kind of the reality in today's professional sports. And maybe
just today in terms of anyone of that age.
Yeah. So teams don't bond. They don't do that. That's all we did. When you're on those flights, I mean, all we did was talk to each other and play cards. And you know, we weren't on social media. That wasn't around when I was playing. So I guess that's a real problem. It's a real issue. So when Kyrie kind of is – and he is the leader on this team because he's the best player. He makes the most money. He's the most decorated player. So everybody's going to take their cues from him. So when he brings everybody together and actually talks to them mm-hmm. and gets to know them and wants to – you know, pick their brain and then wants to, own up to what he's been doing. That's when there's like, okay, cool. Now we feel like a team. So I hope there's more of that. I hope he doesn't unplug from here on out. I hope he's plugged in and he continues this kind of behavior, because guys respond to that when your leader wants to get to know you, when your leader actually cares or shows that he's caring and will actually own up to some of the things that he's done that hasn't been right, then you got something there. Then you got something maybe that can be special. So only time will tell. But that was a clunker last night, man. That was a little disappointing the way they played last night, I thought.
You didn't watch it, did you?
No, I didn't watch it. But I'm just, I'm a box score bozo guy, so I can just look at the box score.
If you're up at 10:30 at night, you need some help.
I was asleep an hour and a half before that.
There you go.
God bless you. Good for you.
I was not.
was high.
I'm trying to figure out the routine for this show, man. I'm like going to bed. I had to get to bed early, man, to get my 8 hours. I need eight hours.
Right after your workout, you were done.
I was done.
Yeah, well, we have to get to that at 8 o'clock or at 7 o'clock because I want to talk about this TV 12 thing. But the 7:30 game, playoff game, lost. There was a lot of introspection afterwards.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Milo take it all right?
A little too... Damn, he was devastated. All right, here are the headlines when we come back. Westbrook's getting a little overboard with the fan crap.
Welcome back to Foxborough. Practice number two of training camp.
From training camp.
It just matters that we won, man. It
was to championship celebrations.
I mean, it was like a home game here. We love you guys.
This is where Boston talks sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5, the Sports Hub app now.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. We'll get to all the comings and goings in the NFL. When did this C.J. Mosley thing go down?
I think it just came down just now, Fred. I'm looking at my Twitter. Ian Rappaport is reporting it that C.J. Mosley signed a... where is it at? Hold on, I will find it. This is good radio right here.
Listen, man.
Here we go. Time. Former Ravens linebacker C.J. Mosley is expected to sign with the Jets. It's a massive 5-year, $85 million deal, $51 million guaranteed. So,
what could go wrong?
Goodness gracious, $17 million per.
So I believe they've signed
for middle linebacker, which is insane.
He's got to be the highest paid middle linebacker of all time because it was someone that signed yesterday.
Quan Alexander for the 49ers had the biggest contract for middle linebacker.
Mosley,
last one day.
Just trying to find
the money's insane right now, guys.
I mean,
oh yeah. Now does that piss you off? When did you retire?
2005.
Okay.
I think Fred, the salary cap at that time was $85 million.
Okay.
In 2005, it is now I want to say what, over $170 million, $180 million. I think is the salary cap for
it's
each.
It's got to be if you're chucking money at middle linebacker.
I mean,
like
Mosley. Now,
I will say this: he's a 3-down linebacker.
Okay.
Okay. So he doesn't come off the field. So he's a guy that is, and those are there's maybe I would say. 10 to 12 middle linebackers in the NFL that can be on the field for all 3 downs. And so there's a more of a premium on that. But still, nonetheless, it's a middle linebacker who's got $51 million in guarantees. It's crazy money. Does it piss me off? It pisses me off as much as it pissed the guys that came before me when they saw what I made. So it's all relative, but I feel like there's more money now than there ever. I mean, I feel like there's just the game since I retired in 2005 till now has, from a financial standpoint, it's exploded. It was a huge thing when I played. Fantasy football's changed. I mean, the salary cap percentage wise is gone up way more than it did when I was playing in this amount of time. So the growth of the game is exploded, and guys have uniform working conditions.
Right.
Since 2011, so you don't hit as much.
Well, Troy Brown, that pisses him off so badly. We would have Troy Brown in every Monday in the football season, and that was the thing that got to him.
Yeah.
He said that he's like, I mean, obviously being sarcastic, but he's like, I'd still be playing. He's like, practices were worse than games.
There's some truth to that. I got most of my concussions in practice, and it was the very archaic kind of thinking around how to practice. It was one of those deals, like, I mean, it was the beatings will continue until morale improves type of attitude that a lot of these coaches would have, and nobody wanted to change what they did. It was like, just put them in full pads, during training camp, and maybe full pads, for twice during the week leading up to the game on Sundays. it's funny because you think about it, if I went and played for maybe a different team or a different coach, I could have maybe extended my career. Ted, what do you mean? All right, so you play for Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick. I mean, you were – it was a very physical type of camp, type of way of practicing and approaching the game. You go play for Bill Walsh, okay? He hardly ever hit, all right? Hardly ever hit. So guys were fresher in the game. But then the Bill Walsh coaching tree, Ray Rhodes, Mike Holmgren, Pete Carroll. I remember when Pete Carroll – so I had three coaches in my 10 years. I had Bill Parcells drafted me. I had him for 2 years. Loved him. Pete Carroll for 3 years, and then I had Belichick for five. Pete, we couldn't believe how nice it was to have, as far as just taking the pads off, you know, preserving guys' health, not beating the crap out of each other, how nice that was. If you played for certain coaches that were maybe from that Bill Walsh tree, then you were going to have longer careers. You weren't going to have as much mileage on, you know, tread on the tires because of those guys' philosophy and not hitting. So, yeah, the uniform rules, the uniform working conditions, they came collectively bargained in 2011, plus the money that is being thrown around makes guys probably for my generation, and the guys before me, truly, those guys paved the way for us. But there's got to be some bitterness.
But they could play hungover and stuff. Like that.
They
got away with a little bit. All right, so what about this theory that, and you hear it all the time, is that, oh, guys are getting hurt during the regular season because they're not conditioning their bodies to be hit. Because that always sounded to me like complete crap.
Yeah, I think that is kind of complete crap.
Like, there's no scientific evidence like, oh, yeah, you know, hit him about the waist with a baseball bat and then get him out there and he'll be perfectly fine.
Right, right. No, there's that mentality that they're not conditioned for it. Their body hasn't gone through the hits it needs to properly. That's all bull crap. Give me a break. So there's enough hitting that goes on in training camp to get your body prepared for the regular season. Now, you do got to go through a little bit of that right. To get yourself, your body conditioned for, you know, a regular season in the NFL. But you know what you're seeing, though? A lot of teams particularly offensive lines, because offensive linemen, I'd say the one position that maybe it does them a disservice that there's not as much hitting, because you really, to be good offensive line, you got to feel the guys, you got to hit, and you got to be physical in practice to really get, you know, where the whole unit's working like it needs to. So you see a lot of teams struggling early on and then kind of getting their mojo as the season goes on. A lot of that, a lot of people think, is because of the fact there's not as much hitting in training camp. But here's the thing that I say to that, Fred. Everybody's following the same rules. So right. Nobody has an advantage over the next guy. So I don't take that too seriously.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you get Troy Brown in here, and it's the one – I mean, he's a really nice guy. But he gets pissed off the air. He gets pissed on the air. Yeah. I mean, the idea that these guys have it the way they have it now, yeah, you would extend your career. I mean, it would save your body.
Yeah.
And I know you went over it with Rich, but, I mean, you said you got the most concussions in practice, and looking back, that's – I mean, they didn't have to happen.
Yeah, know? It's you think of hits as miles on an odometer, you know, right. And just if you can, you know, cut down on the hits to the head by taking the pads off in practice, you're just naturally going to have more longevity. You're going to be able to play the game longer. So I've always thought, you know, the average career in the NFL has always been right around 3.2 years. I could see that getting bumped up if there, you know, in the next, you know, if there was data out there, I'd be curious to see.
Well, quarterbacks.
Since 2011.
All quarterbacks didn't play until they're 40 if they're any good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because you don't, I mean, you're not allowed to get hit. I mean,
might as well just put red jerseys on them.
I mean, you are throughout training.
I know, but what I'm saying is on the field, just put a red jersey on them on the field.
Well, you can't hit them low. You can't hit them high.
You have like a 6-inch by 6-inch target in the front and in the back.
Well, I've told this story a bunch of times, but there was the NFL Network was replaying Super Bowls, and there was one of the Cowboys, Steelers one, and Merlin Olsen's in the booth. And Bradshaw rolls to his right. He throws downfield, and then 1, 2, 3 just gets walloped in the head. And then Merlin Olsen's like, yep, he got his bell rung there. And, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
you just could take a run at the guy, and if you got rid of the ball, I mean, who cares? And now, you know, and I'm not saying that's right. That's obviously not good. But now you're not allowed to hit him.
No, you know what? There used to be a time in the early 90s, I'll never forget, when you'd watch guys like Troy Aikman, Steve Young, okay? And you would hear commentators actually say, oh, that's Steve Young's seventh concussion. He better be careful, you know? Or that's Troy Aikman's, that's his eighth recorded concussion. You know, these things are added up, you know? You got to be careful. Can you imagine a broadcaster saying that now about a quarterback? Never. The point is, back in the early 90s with those two quarterbacks who have a long history of getting hit and getting concussed, it's amazing to me how far we've come. You know, and it's the rules have changed, the education, the awareness has changed, and so you'll never see a quarterback playing in the NFL that has seven or eight recorded concussions out there playing, because it just, you know, people wouldn't allow it. They wouldn't allow it. You know, well, at this point,
you certainly wouldn't be able to say anything about it, or you're going to get fired.
Well, right, exactly. That's exactly right.
Right. I mean, you know, Costa says something about it and he gets fired, and that's the deal there. OBs these days, not getting hit comments.
Yeah.
Look at Burr. About right.
What?
Let's give this a try.
Let's hear this. I can't wait to hear this.
It is QBs. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I misread Bird's writing. Manny, go ahead.
Oh, I told Bird it's about quarterbacks getting hit, not getting hit. That's what I told him.
Listen, but why do you have? I mean, Bird's in there. He's trying to spell. I mean, what are you doing to him?
Hey, I'm glad you guys are talking about it, because that's my opinion with the TB12 method. I think it's a bogus sell. I don't know what you guys think when he's saying that. Oh, I last longer because my method, but in reality, it's because the quarterbacks are not getting hit. I think that's why he's lasting longer, and the quarterbacks are lasting longer because it's not getting hit. It's not because of his diet or avocado or not eating tomatoes. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, I want to get into it further, so I don't want to get into it right now, because they're opening up a TB12 center in
downtown.
Back Bay.
In Back Bay. So I want to talk about that later, because Ted Johnson's in here. And I'm sure he's really happy about the concussion sauce that Guerrero made. You drink this and nothing bad can happen. You're impervious to hits to the head.
That's right.
All right. We'll be back. I do want to get into this Westbrook thing. He's very anti-fan right now. He's a very anti-fan. And he took something as racist, but I thought it was more homophobic than racist.
Either way, the question is, who's right and who's wrong? Did you see the cards that were handed out to the fans on the baseline?
No, I didn't. So we'll get into that in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I talked to Rob last night, man. He won't even tell me. He said he hasn't made a decision yet. He is healthy, which I'm excited to say. He's feeling a lot better. He played through an injury in the Super Bowl. What else is new for that beast? You know, personally, I just want what's best for Rob. I said, Rob, take your time. Do what you believe in. He's already the all-time greatest tight end. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's never been a tight end like this guy. The sky's the limit for him. If he comes back to play, fantastic. I honestly don't know.
Rosenhaus.
And then he broke boards that were on fire.
Ted Johnson.
Does your hand still work?
Yeah, everything's great.
There was a 60 Minutes piece on him, and he insisted that they go to, like, some dojo.
I think it was at his house.
Well, and then they, like, lit these, boards on fire, and he went, hi-ya! Hi-ya!
I missed that piece.
Yeah, I don't think that 60 Minutes was like, hey, you know what? could you break some boards for us?
Agent ever do that?
Huh? No.
Your agent never did that?
No, I had an old school. My agent's from West Texas. My agent, Jack Mills, it's funny. So when you're at the combine, every team almost asks you, so who's your agent? Everyone's Jack Mills. Oh, Jack, great guy. I go to the next team. Who's your agent? Jack Mills. Oh, Jack, great. I'm saying, here you go. Everybody likes my agent. Is this good? I'm not so sure. This is good.
Yeah,
Jack Mills, you know, he represents Baker Mayfield. And Jack's been doing this a long time, over 30 years. And it's funny, like, you talk about, I mean, you don't know, does anybody know another NFL football agent other than Drew Rosenhaus? He's like the only one, like, I think people could even name.
Yeah, is it Don Yee? Is he
Don Yee because
agent?
Of Tom? That's about it, yeah. Because of Tom. But the agents, you know, and Jerry Maguire, they glorified, you know, the agent in that movie. And it's kind of a joke. Like, no disrespect to the NFL agents. They don't have as much influence as people think. Baseball agents, very different.
Yeah, because what's the cap, though? There's a cap on what you – it's 3%. See, you don't know how lucky you are to only have to pay an agent 3%.
I was going
to
say. That's pretty good.
Yeah. If I can negotiate down to 5%, it's like insane.
And you know what I'm reading too, Fred and John, is that they are now – there are some agencies that are not even charging for rookies first – for their first contract, because they're all slotted now, right? I mean, with the rookie cap, you can only make so much.
Right, and you're not negotiating.
Right. So what they do is they'll say, all right, we'll negotiate your first contract. You don't have to pay us, but you have to stay with us for your second contract. So that makes sense. That's kind of the deal that some agencies are now making with players is that part.
All right, so you don't like the way Gronk is handling this retirement.
You know what it is? I just get tired of it. I get tired of the retirement talk. It's very it feels like there, and I'm look, if I got to preface everything
you don't
negative
have to
about okay. But I'm a big fan of Gronk. I just wish guys would, you know, we don't need to know about your retirement. Are you going to think about retirement? Retire or don't retire.
Right.
Stop talking about, you know, and his brothers, you know, there's leaks about retirement. I mean, the fact 2 years ago before the Philadelphia game and the Super Bowl, you know, the day before the Super Bowl it's leaked that he's contemplating retirement.
Right.
Oh, come on, man. You know, I'm old school, Fred. I like guys that just kind of keep their head down. It's about the team and not about their brand and not about creating conversations about the individual player. Let your play do the talking for you. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way. Now, but I read an article, and I wish I could give credit to the person when I read this, but there's a thought that the dangling the retirement thing out there from Gronk to the Patriots is his leverage.
Right.
Okay. All right, if there's that piece to it, okay. It's just I never liked when Brett Favre, who was the king of retiring, how annoying was it? So
because
it feels a little self-serving to me.
He did it in a way, especially that was he just wanted people to go. He would be like, "I think I'm going to retire."
No, don't retire.
No, don't retire. I'm back. Okay,
so it's kind of like that.
If you were friends with him personally, Gronkowski, like if you were very close to him. Wouldn't you tell him to stop playing football?
I would.
Yeah. I mean, he's got these chronic injuries, and, I mean, the guy can make a living off the field. And if they cut his – we've talked about it before. If they cut his salary, and now the difference in money he could make off the field and what he would make playing football, the discrepancy isn't that much. Mm-hmm. So why the hell would I want to keep playing football if you get a chronic back issue like that? I mean, that can ruin your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd say there's an unknown about life after football. You know what football is, you know what to expect. And so it's hard for guys to retire, but I thought leading up to the season, and then after the season, I thought he was for sure going to retire.
Yeah.
However, you win a Super Bowl, and all that bad taste that was in the offseason, last offseason after the Super Bowl loss, and all the stuff that was going on, there seems to be all of a sudden now, okay, everybody's on the same page. It's lovey-dovey. That maybe Gronk's going, all right, well, maybe it can go back to the way it used to be. Maybe I'll, you know, actually play. I just thought he was miserable last day. He was miserable for three quarters of that season last year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's got to kind of sit there and go, all right, well, is it going to be, you know, it could go right back to that.
But it's training camp when a lot of these guys, you know, because then you get into it. Like we had Ninkovich in studio and Welker in studio together. And during the breaks, Welker was the receivers coach at the time with the Texans, I believe.
Yep.
And so
now he's with the 49ers. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And so he was like, I have to track every effing practice thing. And then, you know, I got to have these all 22 photos. And Ninkovich was saying, I don't even look at those. It's the biggest waste of time. And then Ninkovich started talking like, wait a second, this sucks. And then the next thing you know, he retires.
About a week later, he retired. Yeah. About Gronk and Rosenhaus, oh, well, he's feeling great. If he's feeling great, why hasn't he said, I'm coming back to play? I mean, I'm wondering what's pulling on him going in the opposite direction.
Contract.
Well, no, that's part of it. But the physical part has to be part of this, too. I mean,
what is he going to say?
I understand. He's going to say, I kick ass, is what he's going to say.
All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.